For I say not this that others may be distressed and eased and ye distressed, but by equality. Your abundance being a supply at this present time for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. There had to be equality. God's plan in the New Testament was equality. What did they do in the book of Acts? The first thing they did was redistribute the wealth. They wanted to make sure everybody's needs were met. He that gathered little had no lack, and he that gathered much had nothing over, that there may be equality. That's God's plan. God believes in equality. Now, I don't need the same kind of car you need. I may need a car and you might need a truck. But the thing is, our needs are met, right? And in the church, people like Brother Crouch there, that wouldn't happen under God's system. First of all, they got the Nicolaitan error there. They don't have the fivefold ministry, and they don't have New Testament financial responsibility. And they don't see themselves as stewards. They see themselves as owners. And they're plundering the flock of God. I pray that everybody under them grows up and finds out what it is to be a steward, and that thing just crumbles. Do you understand? If you obey the Spirit of God, if everybody is a steward, and they realize that they're not under a law, but they're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, they have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of the church, and tells them where to put their money and where not to put their money, how much and to when. No 10%. The Lord is the Lord. If everybody listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know what would happen to these apostate organizations who have to put their people under the law to support them? They would crumble to nothing. Because if everybody listened to the voice of the Spirit, they'd support just what God wanted to support. And believe me, the Spirit, the truly Spirit-filled, discipled organizations, they know that they don't need that much money to do everything God wants them to do. The reason these men condemn you into the tithe is because they can't walk by faith. If they did, God wouldn't support them. You hear what I'm saying? If they did, God wouldn't support them because they weren't sent in the first place. First of all, God said He don't send anybody that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, folks, 90-something percent of Christianity doesn't even believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how can they be sent of God? They all claim to be. But if they had to walk by faith, they'd starve to death because God wouldn't support them. And the people who had true discernment and were disciples of Jesus Christ, they wouldn't support them. I'll guarantee you there are people that know just what we just read about Paul Crouch, and they'll continue to support him. I've seen it happen over and over again. Because they don't realize that true ministers don't do those things.
Any swagger, understand?
Yeah. They don't realize that that is a false prophet.
And someone asked that, could we pray for Paul and Jan before signing off?
Of course.
The truth is revealed to them.
Of course, that's a good idea.
It affects so many people.
Like just what happened to PTL, you know, Jim Baker. I mean, he had a mental breakdown. He went to jail. But it appears like he met God there. You know, and that's good. You know, I mean,
Something so
simple.
That's
the mercy of God, because you know what? Some of those people never meet God. They go right on off into eternity. It was the mercy of God that had him get caught and put in prison to slow him down enough to read his Bible to come to know the Lord. Because a lot of them, God's not that merciful with. He just uses them as a vessel of dishonor until they split hell wide open.
And his wife, Tammy Beth Faye, she went off and married some guy, he wanted up in jail.
Yeah.
And she's out
No, he did.
She's ministering right now because she knows God's healed her of cancer. And she is, she got humbled. Tammy Faye got humbled big time. You ought to read her story.
Did she get healed recently?
Yes. She, within the last couple of years, yes.
Well, I've been recently because
she had cancer.
She had cancer, and the Lord healed her and delivered her of all of her cancer, and she's out ministering to women about God's healing power.
Very good. Thank you, Lord.
So she had her eyes opened up.
But and you know, Jimmy Swaggart, you know, I don't know him personally. I used to live over there right close to him, and I have met him. As far as we know, he was greatly humbled. And I pray that for all of these men, that they escape from the bondage of Satan. But the thing is, you see, the principles of the Scripture were laid down for a purpose. If you obey what they tell you there and you submit to the truth, there's no way you come into an opportunity to live like that and fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts such as drown men in destruction and perdition. There's no way. And if you believe in this equality, there's no way you can get yourself in that position in the first place. If you believe in New Testament stewardship, you can't get in that position. If you believe in tithing, you can get in that position. Remember when the scribes and the Pharisees and the rich people were throwing their money into the treasury, and the widow with the two mites went over there and threw hers in? She gave more than all the rest of them. Because you can give 10% and still be very, very rich. And you don't care nothing about equality, you understand? But that woman, God wasn't going by how much you gave. He was going by how much you got left. Did you notice that? Is it a sacrifice? And how much do you have left? That's what he goes by in the New Testament. Now that woman gave more than all of them people. And she'll be famous forever. And who remembers them, right? That's the great thing about it, you know. It's how much you got left, not how much you give. So give sacrificially, and God will give sacrificially to you. But don't go anywhere where they demand it, because that ain't the house of the Lord. If they put you under a law, they're separating you from Christ. And they're bringing you under a curse. That's what the Bible says. And tithing is of the law, just like the Old Testament Sabbath is of the law. If you haven't found out what the New Testament Sabbath is all about, it's not a day, folks. Read Hebrews 3 and 4. It's not a day anymore. Not Saturday and not Sunday. Definitely not Sunday. So, get out from under the law, because you're cursed if you're under there. Because you know what? You got to keep the whole law now. That's what the Bible... That's the curse. You know what the curse of the law is? If they put you under part of it, you got to keep all of it to be righteous before God. And that can't happen. Because you don't know all the law in the first place, do you?
They did and couldn't do it.
And you're not tithing everything, even your anise and cumin, right? And the people who say they keep the Sabbath, they're not keeping it.
It's funny that the Pharisees came up with these extra rules,
yeah,
at the law, so people could keep the law. For instance, on Sunday or the Sabbath, you weren't allowed to leave your house. So they made these rules where you can have these little spikes. You could pound them in the ground to extend your house.
Yeah.
So you could go outside your house and still be within the law.
Yeah, it's amazing. Astounding. How they bend and pervert things to let their flesh do whatever they want.
And I think you had to buy these spikes, these wooden spikes from the temple.
Well, the people that keep the Sabbath, they're not keeping the Sabbath. What are they doing about the sabbatical year? Every seventh year. All right? Are you keeping the Sabbath for that year? Let me ask you. No, if you're not keeping the Sabbath, you're not keeping the Sabbath. See, you're just lying to yourself. So, besides, if you're keeping the Old Testament Sabbath, you have to keep the rest of the law too. So, We have to fulfill the Sabbath. That's different. And the only way you can fulfill the Sabbath is to cease from your works every day. Keep the Sabbatismos, which God did put upon the Christians. Read it, Hebrews chapter 4. The Sabbatismos. It means a continual rest. That's the one He put on the Christians. You have to cease from your works every day. All day. Because the works of the flesh and the works of the law will bring you to hell. Do you realize that if you're keeping the Sabbath in the New Testament, the Old Testament Sabbath in the New Testament, you are not ceasing from your works and you are not keeping the New Testament Sabbath? Did you hear what I said? And if you are tithing in the New Testament, you are not ceasing from your works, the works of the law, and you are not keeping the New Testament Sabbath? Because the New Testament Sabbath was to cease from your works. That's right. The works of the flesh, the works of the law, the works of self-justification, that's all your works. It's not God's works. So literally, the people who are trying to do God's works by keeping the Old Testament Sabbath, they are breaking the New Testament Sabbath. Because they're not ceasing from their own works. And you're not ceasing from your works if you're going under any part of the law. You're becoming a child of the handmaid and not of the free woman. That's what Paul said. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Separates you from Christ Himself. Again, tithing separates you from Christ because you have to disobey all those principles that Jesus said in order to take that money and bring it into some storehouse that's not in the middle of the temple. And to hand it over to a preacher, which nobody in the New Testament ever did. And none of the disciples and Jesus Himself ever commanded that. See, so you basically made your own covenant. You can't be the old covenant because it doesn't exist anymore. It passed away in Christ. But if you cease from your works every day to do the works of Christ, you understand that you abide in Christ. He's Lord of the Sabbath. If you're abiding in Him, you are ceasing from your works. Therefore, you are keeping the Sabbath. The New Testament Sabbath is to abide in Christ. And if you abide in Him, you're going to be obeying 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 that we just spoke from. Because if you are tithing, folks, you're not abiding in Him. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son. And there is no command in the New Testament for you to tithe. Because He wants you to give according to the Spirit. You know why they needed to tithe? They needed to tithe because they didn't have the Spirit. They didn't know what to do. They didn't, you know, you give laws to people that don't have the law written in their heart. The Holy Spirit writes the law in your heart so you know what to do. Every individual circumstance, you know where to give your money, to who to give your money, how much to give, all that, you see. And anything else that you own, by the way, it's not just money, it's everything that you own. Who to give your car to, who to give your house. God ever told you to do that? He's told me twice to give a house away, and I did. And cars away many times. I've given many cars. Lord said, but you know what? When the Lord tells you to do that, it's because He's going to multiply it back to you. That's what He said. He that gives sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. You don't have to worry about it. God tells you to give your car. Give it, because He got something better for you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That's what He said. So, if you're not doing business with God, you know what the tithe is? It's doing business with God. Okay, God, I'll give you my 10%, but you fulfill all these promises for me. You're seeking to be justified by what you do. But you know what? We're entitled to God meeting our every need according to His riches and glory because He said so, not because of what we do, because He's true to His Word. And tithers are doing business with God. How would you like Him to give you 10% of eternal life? No, we don't want to do business with God, folks. We want grace. If you want grace, then walk in grace, not under the law. I mean, they had to pay for eternal life under the law. They had to keep those laws. But we're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we don't do business with God. It's not a good thing to do business with God. Because if He pays you what He owes you, you'll be in trouble.
Yep.
You have something there, Terry?
No, we have several things. The biggest thing I'm seeing so far is, can you discuss something about the 10 or 12, 10 or 12, 11 dream / vision?
What?
Some dream or vision. There's been a lot of stuff going around about a dream or vision. Something happening on December 10th or December 11th.
Oh. Well, I can tell you that Sean Johnson had a dream last year that I had shared with his dad a new revelation concerning the judgment of America, which Dimitri Dudeman had spoken about, which I did on the last tour, and he received it very well, better than I'd ever seen him receive anything before. So God, it was definitely a fulfillment of his dream. The other part of his dream was that something concerning that judgment would happen on December the 10th. So, that doesn't specify what December the 10th, but I would suspect it's probably the same year that Stan got the new revelation from God. That's what I suspect. I can't prove that. So if that's true, then this December the 10th, something concerning that judgment will happen. I'm not saying it is a judgment, but something concerning that. It could have been something that Dimitri Dudeman spoke about, or something that I spoke about. I don't know. At any rate, we've only got a few more days to find out, right? If it is something. But I'm convinced that the dream was authentic because God really confirmed the first part of it very well. So it's at least some December the 10th, I believe. Okay. But I have no idea what it is. But I wouldn't doubt that we've got another judgment coming because these judgments are going to bring revival. And also these judgments are going to force America to do what the Bible already prophesies that America can do, will do. And that is, America is Babylon. America is the great eagle. The great eagle is going to conquer the Middle East. And the thing that drove them there in the first place, most recently, was an attack on America. So guess what the next attack on America is going to do? That's right. They'll go into Iran. And they go into Syria. But it seems like Syria is knuckling under. You know, they're even pulling their troops out of Lebanon. By the way, Babylon ruled Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, Israel. Now, already Babylon, as America, is controlling some of that. But they will also control Iraq and Iran and Syria and Lebanon and so on and so forth. So, that's another reason I believe that a judgment is coming. Another judgment, a big judgment is coming. Matter of fact, what time is it? 10:22. I've got an awesome revelation here. I'll just read it to you. Concerning the next judgment on America. Okay? It's called The Eagle and the Serpents. Some of you may have read it. It's Michael Boldius' vision from the Lord. And some people believe, I believe that he's receiving some of the mantle that was upon Dimitri Dudeman. This is his grandson. Let me read this to you. I dreamt I was walking through a sparsely wooded forest. And suddenly my attention was drawn to an eagle flying high above the tree line. It was as beautiful a sight to behold as the eagle rode the thermals flying in low, lazy arcs across the blue sky. I began to quicken my pace and keep up with the eagle's flight, all the while keeping an eye upon it, noticing that it was slowly descending towards the earth. I followed it for a long time. It descended, its descent not being sudden, but very gradual. Finally, I came upon a small clearing where there were no trees, just some bushes on the edge of the green grass. The eagle landed in the clearing and began to look around, not seeming to notice me. As I began to wonder what the relevance of this was, a man dressed in white, hands clasped in front of him, appeared beside me and said, "Be patient, in due time you will see the purpose." I was silent as I watched the eagle and was beginning to grow somewhat impatient, when suddenly it seemed out of nowhere a brown snake lunged at the eagle and bit down on its left wing. The snake's strike was very quick and very precise. The eagle reacted without delay, clawing and pecking at the snake, cutting deep wounds in its underbelly, trying to defend itself and ward off the serpent. Just as it seemed the eagle was winning the battle, the serpent was retreating, another serpent appeared, red and black diagonal stripes covering its body, and without hesitation struck out at the eagle's right wing, biting down and refusing to release. After a momentary tug of war, the serpent tore off flesh and feathers, leaving a large wound on the eagle's right wing. The second bite was much worse than the first. And for an instant, the eagle was stunned. Then a serpent much larger than the previous two, made up of many colors, slithered toward the eagle, opened its jaws, and lunged, taking the whole of the eagle's head in its mouth before biting down. The serpents retreated, and the man who had been standing beside me walked to the eagle, knelt down, picked it up, and held it in its cupped hands. The look of grief on his face was beyond any I've seen in my life. Just seeing the look on the man's face broke your heart. The man continued to look down at the eagle and with a pained voice said, "The true tragedy is that at any moment it could have sought the safety of the above. It could have soared towards the heavens and would have found its protection. This has been revealed to you that you may know the first bite has been. The second is yet to come, and the third will be its destruction." So remember that the second bite was much worse than the first. I watched for a long time as the man held the eagle in the palm of his hands, the pained expression never leaving his features. I was too stunned to speak or to ask any questions, and what I had seen having seemed so real. The feeling followed me into my waking hours as well, and each time I closed my eyes, I saw the entire scene play before my eyes throughout the day. One thing that I feel I need to share with you is that the second bite seemed to come from an unexpected place. Although I have my own opinion concerning this, I choose to keep it to myself, because expounding on personal opinion is a dangerous thing when it comes to things that God reveals. I was hesitant in sharing this dream because I know some will perceive it as a reason to fear. Well, I hope you do fear the Lord, because we should fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what the Bible said. It's not a reason to fear man, that is. He doesn't say that. It's not a reason to fear, but a reason to be stirred and emboldened for the kingdom of God. The reality is that these are the times we are living in, and I, for one, am thankful to God for His forewarnings. knowing that his children will never be aware of what the future holds, never be unaware of what the future holds. So on and so forth. Well, the second serpent had red and black diagonal stripes covering its body, and it was much worse than the first.
I've heard that possibly a dirty bomb could go off someplace.
Let's see. Oh, well, okay. He said it was from... I can't find it now, but he said it was from an unexpected source. So whatever the serpent with the red and black diagonal stripes covering the body. The last serpent, by the way, was many colors, which I'm sure represents all nations, mm-hmm. because the Bible says all nations are going to destroy the eagle of Babylon.
Well, the American flag has red and white stripes on it.
This is red and black diagonal stripes.
Oh, red and black?
Red and black.
Red and black.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder what red and black... I need to go look at some flags, huh? Red and black. But an unexpected source. So, folks, we got another one coming. It's going to be worse than the first. And... it can be the result of a war or cause the war. Either way.
I think it's going to cause the war.
It could cause the war.
Because I think it's going to be like 9-1-1.
Red and black are you talking about red and black in the flag?
No, it didn't say anything about a flag. It just said the serpent was red and black diagonal stripe. So I would be interested in looking at some flags and see if there's a red and black diagonal stripe. Just a curiosity. But,
wasn't there one? Yeah, there's one with a coral snake that's red and black on yellow, too. So.
I don't know.
Wow. Yeah.
Either way, let me say this, that what you sow, you reap. And he that lives by the sword will die by the sword. That goes for nations as well as people. They think that they can find a place of safety by going over there and fighting back with these people. Look, these people never give up. I mean, they will always hit back. And you, like our president has said and others have said, you've got to be right 100% of the time. All they got to do is get lucky once, you know, to get you. And the point is, they're going to bring judgment upon America. The people that are going about it the way of the world, I mean, maybe Bush and his people are doing what is right in the eyes of the world and the worldly church, but the truth is it's not Christian. And a soft answer turns away wrath. The gospel is what Christians would of course do. The world doesn't know anything about that. So, he that lives by the sword is going to die by the sword. America can't defend itself by killing as many people as they're killing and think they're going to get off without a judgment, you see. But again, folks, America's not us. We have our own kingdom here in the earth. And that's the body that we belong to. They belong to the world. Americans who are not Christians belong to the body of the beast. The whole world lieth in the evil one, the Bible says. Anybody who's not born again, walking in the Spirit, they are in the evil one. So, they're not going to do things our way. But we must. Yeah, Terry? No?
This person is no longer here. But here's the one. Is 12/11 on our calendar 11/11 on the Hebrew calendar. What month is 11/11 on the Hebrew calendar?
Oh, I don't know. Where it is on the Hebrew calendar.
About the conscience.
But I had a couple of people. One brother said that the Lord was going to set up His throne on December the 11th. I do know that God is going to set up His throne in the man-child. And that is before the tribulation starts. And another brother said that on December the 12th, he got a revelation from God that a miraculous ministry was going to start for him on December the 12th. So I don't know. I do know that when judgments fall on the earth, God always meets those with the gospel and grace. He's already prepared people to share the gospel and grace. And I don't know. I'm looking to see myself what's going to happen on December the 10th and December the 12th. You know?
Well, Darren was saying that one of the stones on the priest's breastplate of judgment was red and black and white striped.
This isn't white now. It's just red and black.
Yeah. But he says, trying to look up which stone and which tribe to get that. what's her name? I think it's Jean or whatever God's arsenal is. I can't remember right now. My mind's blank. Says I keep seeing 11/11. And I was just thinking this, even December 10th or even December 11th, if it's going to be judgment, it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be a year after.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this year.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be. It's happened before. Actually, let me tell you that when Sean had this dream last year, I was watching very closely for December the 10th last year. Mm-hmm. The only thing was, the first part of it hadn't really been fulfilled. I had tried to share with Stan pieces of the revelation, but never had a lot of time to do it, and he wasn't receiving it. So it didn't happen last year on December the 10th because the first part hadn't been fulfilled, but this year it definitely was fulfilled. And so, this is the first year it can happen on December the 10th. So I don't know what it is, but it has something to do with the judgment of America. I can't even say that it is a catastrophic judgment on America. I don't know that. It's something to do with it. You know, that don't really describe very well what it could be. It could be something that the government does that leads to destruction, you know. Who knows? Ask God. Let's ask God. We want the Lord to share with us these things before they happen, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Gather has a question.
Okay.
You talk about, you know, all these tribulations that you've gone through, you know, and that these things when you walk by faith. You talk about, you know, the promise and obtaining the promise. But what about the hardship that you experienced, the trouble that you had to go through, about helping, you know, sharing with the suffering that you went through to help others that may be going through hard times too? Because they're just seeing the promise and they don't see the struggle that you went through.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like it just happened instantly for you when it doesn't always happen that way.
No, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you go through a trial of your faith. Sometimes you suffer a little bit. Is it worth receiving it God's way in God's time to suffer a little bit to receive that? Is it worth it? To some people, it's not worth it. They just want an instantaneous fleshly gratification, you know? So they run to Egypt. You know, they run to man. But it's been worth it to me to wait and see God's answer, because you got a testimony there that will encourage other people, you know. We do suffer things. And while we hold fast to our faith, we do sometimes suffer things. One thing you suffer is the ridicule of the world, because they don't know anything about faith, and here you are claiming that you've received something that strictly on the grounds that God said so. And of course, they ridicule you for that, and other Christians do too. So there's the ridicule. And sometimes there's suffering in your body while you wait for God to manifest that healing. You know, is it worth it? I think it is. I mean, that's you get an eternal reward for walking by faith in God. You get nothing for getting the world's answer, and you learn nothing, and you usually have to go through the same trial again because you didn't do it God's way and you didn't learn anything. It's kind of like going around that mountain one more time, you know. How many times are you going to go around the wilderness until you get it right and go into the promised land, which means enter into the land of promise? You know what I mean? Obviously, if we get all of our trials right when we go through them, we don't have to keep going through them, right? I mean, what is a trial for? It's to teach us a lesson, right? Boy, I tell you, the quickest way between two points is a straight line. How long did it take them to get to the promised land? Some people have conjectured how many days? I forget. About 40 years.
It could have taken them 40 days.
Yeah, it could have taken a lot less, you know. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, she's asking if you could give us an example and know or in how you applied the scripture. I can give one I think of right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to give this testimony tonight, but then I was led to hold off on it, so I'll just generalize it. But I'm going through a trial right now, and this trial was to burn up my flesh. It wasn't really to come to an understanding. It was simply to burn up the flesh. And burning up the flesh hurts and is painful. However, this used the scripture that by his stripes I was healed. And the fact that Jesus became accursed for me. He bore all this at the cross. And this is what stays on my mind whenever the pain of the flesh rises up until the trial's over. And you keep your eyes on the cross and what Jesus accomplished. All the scripture, not just one, but all the scripture that applies to what you're going through. And eventually you will come out of it. And you come to the point where you believe that Christ accomplished it at the cross. It could be hard, but... Oh, I got a lot of people have some questions.
Okay. Well, this is the same thing. If you ask God for a healing, and you're not double-minded, and you endure the trial of your faith, the fiery trial sometimes of your faith, you may suffer a little bit between here and there, but the thing is, you're going to be the friend of God, because you walk by faith, and the just shall live from faith, the righteous shall live from faith. So, between here and when the manifestation comes, you may endure something that's totally contrary to the promise, which is what a trial of your faith is. But if you walk by faith, like Abraham, who suffered for how many years before the promised seed came forth, Isaac, you know, and he cried to God year after year. Actually, if you really want to know the truth, if you go back and read the story, he only believed God for about a year. The rest of that time, he spent in double-mindedness. Go back and read the story, you'll see that. He actually started believing God in the last year before Isaac was born.
And so,
Huh?
He laughed at him.
He laughed at God. And so did Sarah. Mm-hmm. They both were double-minded. And actually, sometimes that's the reason why Christians don't receive any quicker than they do, is because they're not really enduring the trial of their faith in faith. They're being double-minded. But even if you do believe with pure faith, that doesn't mean you'll get an instantaneous answer. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a trial of your faith. And a trial of your faith is precious, more precious than gold, the Bible says. So, no matter what you got to go through, God won't put more on you than you can bear. And I've been quite happy to go through the trials I've gone through. I haven't always seen instantaneous answers. In fact, quite a good portion of those are not instantaneous answers. So,
Darren said that he looked up the thing about the black and the white. He said that he was talking about the stone which represented one of the tribes. He says the stone is an agate. He says Gad's symbol is a troop shall, or Genesis 49:19, where it says Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Mm-hmm. The symbol of the overcomer. He says, maybe no connection, but it did come to my mind when he heard you talking about the snake, black and white, or red snake. He knows it doesn't have white in it, but the snake didn't, but mm-hmm. So sometimes God makes connections where our mind normally doesn't.
Have you ever looked at an encyclopedia at the flags? I'd be interested in looking in there and see if there was any, since you made that connection, Terry, if there was any, I had a dream about the crescent and the hammer and crescent joining together against America. And, you know, it wasn't the hammer and sickle, it was the hammer and crescent. And the flags of all the Muslims had the crescent on them, almost all of them had the crescent on them. And so God uses that sometimes.
Says maybe the snake will overcome the eagle.
Definitely, the snake will overcome the eagle. You know, America is more guilty than other nations in a lot of ways. To whom much is given, much is expected, the Bible says. America's been gospel saturated, and yet the people, even the Christians, turn away from God. So, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God is attributing evil more to people that know than to people that don't know. And if God doesn't chasten America, he probably would repent for what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because there are places in America that are like Sodom and Gomorrah. Many places like that. So,
which flag is the crescent and the hammer? That's the Russia's flag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
USSR.
Yeah.
The hammer and the sickle.
Yeah, Darren was saying, but he was talking about the snake will overcome the eagle. He says, but in the end, God's people, if living in the eagle, will overcome the snake. Babylon will fall, but God's people will come out.
Right.
Snake bite might cause the final coming out.
Sure. I mean, we are not America, folks. Our kingdom is not of this world. It is true that the snake will bite America, and the snake itself will be destroyed. Yeah, I mean, because after America falls, don't you know that Russia is going to lose a war too? China's going to conquer, or China and other nations are going to beat Russia. And the 10 kings are going to be torn apart in a civil war from the time America's hit on. The whole world is going to be at war. So nobody's really going to win that belongs to this world. The only ones that are going to win is the saints, because the whole world has been created for them and to manifest Jesus in them. So I read the end of the book. We win.
Tincture has her hand up. She wants to
okay.
say something. Dahlia, she's on dial-up, so she's going to try. I'm going to have to tell her if it's working or not. There's a lot of lag, so we have to do a lot of lag for their sound quality just to, for them to hear well. And so it takes quite a bit for them to get the message and
can you hear me now? Can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I see my mic blinking. Okay, you can hear. Well, all this talk about the end of time made and the prophecies made me think about this dream this lady had on that they shared on the prophecy club. So I was going to read it to you because Mary Ellen, hi Mary Ellen, she's in the room, she sent it to me. So I thought I would share it. But before I share it, I was going to tell you about a vision I had when I was first saved. I had just gotten the Holy Ghost. Maybe I'd had it no less than a year. And one night, in the middle of the night, I woke up with my hand stretched out like on a cross, and I was being martyred. And I saw the angels, and they were rooting and cheering for me. And they were saying, "We're going to take you straight to him. We're going to take you straight to him." Amen. Okay, I'll talk slowly. Here is the lesson she has that in the hospital. And she had this in April 15th, 2002. It was way before Arif. In my dream, I saw Mary Jean Stevens at a meeting. Mary is Haight's wife. Haight, you see, is the largest oil field in the world, located at the southwest end of the dead. Mary Jean was not scheduled to speak, and ministered at the perfect prince in the past. So I asked her to minister with me. We ministered to many people. While we were ministering, Mary Jean called from Hayseed. He's very easy to get home. War is about to break out here in Israel. She walked over to me and told me what Hayseed said and then left to go home. That night, after the meeting, I saw myself sleeping. I had a dream within a dream. On television, I saw a news report announcing that if given millions, I heard the Lord say, "You must tell everyone that oil is going to come forth. It will cause the Jewish people to fight back for their land." Then I heard the Lord let them know. I knew this could very easily global war. Kept asking the Lord, why Baltimore? When I awoke from the second dream, in my first dream, I began to tell what the Lord had said. Stan replied, "Lest there are people we must tell." Then a man who was in a high position, having both power and knowledge concerning what was going on in Israel. As I began to tell this man, I dreamed, and I said, "For some reason, we are to tell Baltimore." I asked him, "Why Baltimore?" He said, "Because there are a lot of Jewish people who live in Baltimore." I said to him, "Stan and I will be in Baltimore in a couple of months to do a crusade." There were about eight of us who were discussing my dream. We needed to find a place to talk.
They're coming to stop.
Yeah. Well, we got the mic back. I think it's just breaking up way too bad.
It broke up. Well, we could get most of it until right there at the end when it really broke up bad. Maybe you have a banner ad problem there.
Some dial up.
Yeah. You know what? If you go talk to Randolph Vail, he has a banner blocker. As a matter of fact, he's on the front index page of the website under tech support. About halfway down the index page, there's a tech support. That's where his email is. He can give you a banner blocker that'll stop that, I think. You want to try it again to finish it up? Maybe she's still talking.
She may be. No, she'd hear us. Oh. She'd hear us. We have someone. Oh, I don't know.
Tell her she wants to try again. I'm sure people would like to hear the end of the story.
Yeah, it had something to do with. She was telling me it was a prophetic dream. It had something to do with Arafat dying, and then of course now he's dead. And then
I heard it because Stan sent the dream to me.
I thought it was something.
I don't have it handy though. I'd have to go dig around for it.
We have someone that's needing to go to bed soon and asking for prayer.
Okay.
And I'm waiting on the names, but what is it? His or her aunt. Her aunt's mother is dying of cancer and she's in real pain. I believe if God works a miracle and delivers her, my aunt can come to Christ and even my uncle. So to hold on.
Is it hold on?
Yeah, tell me to hold on. I asked for the names.
Oh.
Charlotte. I don't.
Well, let's pray for Charlotte, I guess.
That's what I'm seeing, if it's Charlotte that needs prayer or who had the cancer. I guess.
Okay. Let's pray for her. It's her aunt, right?
Her aunt's mother.
Her aunt's mother. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do agree together for this lady, Lord. If it's Charlotte, we're not sure, but we do agree together for her. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to please use this situation to bring her to you, Lord, and do a miraculous healing on her, Father. We don't want to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But we do believe that you can save this lady. And not only that, that after she's saved, give her a miraculous healing. At any rate, Lord, you know what's best, and we're asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to please grant them repentance, both of them, her and her husband. Grant them repentance. Grant them faith, the fear of God, Lord. Let them respect your word. Send people to them, Lord. They'll share the real gospel with them, Lord. The good news with them, Father. And put your fear in their heart, your repentance in their heart. Fill them with your spirit, God. And do miracles, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. Thank you. I guess I think you don't want to try it again.
She just put anyone else who wants to hear the rest of or hear the end of it, email, send them her email, their email address to her, and she will.
Okay. And it's posted up there?
Yeah.
Okay. I have that somewhere, but I don't know if I could find it. I think it's in my email box somewhere, because Stan sent it to me a long time ago. And it sounded like that there was going to, that they were going to give, after Arafat's death, that they were going to give them a Palestinian state temporarily, till they could get ready to fight for their land, because oil was going to come in. A really great oil gusher was going to come in. So, hey, that's possible. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It seems like they're working very quickly towards a Palestinian state, which would probably bring a war. Either way, so I guess we might better get off unless we've got another question and try this again some other time. Getting kind of late.
Yeah, it's getting kind
of
late.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Rosalie.
Hi, Rosalie.
Can you hear me? Please say yes. Hello? Thank you.
Started talking, lost the mic.
Sorry, Rosalie. We you cut out right after you started talking there. I don't know what the problem is. We'll probably check our end, and y'all check your end. There's two of them that did that. Maybe we got a weak connection there tonight.
Those are port settings.
Port settings?
Outgoing port settings.
Okay.
I know exactly what that is.
Can you give them some advice there, Terry?
If you're on dial-up, your port... Well, yeah, I have to go into a long spiel about how to get that. So next time, just private message me, and we'll go through your setup and your settings. And it's always a good idea to click on setup and go and download the latest version of PalTalk. Right now we are on build 553, but there may be a later build. I haven't checked it in a couple of weeks, which I need to do tonight anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when people, it's your port settings. That's what PalTalk software setup. It's all about port settings.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's pray and we'll do it again. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for our fellowship. And we enjoy gathering around your word and seeing what you have to say. And we ask you to continue the good work you started in us, Lord. We ask that you grant us repentance from all things that displease you, Father. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, that we can have fellowship with you because of that sacrifice. And Lord, fill us with your latter rain, Lord. Just fill us up with your latter rain, Lord, that you might be manifested through us. This world might see you in us. They might receive your ministry, Lord. God, we ask your blessing upon our lives. We ask your blessing so that the ministry of Jesus can go through us and really reach out and touch this world, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that big fish that Mark talked about. We ask, Lord, that you do a great work through our website, Lord, that reach out, that you draw many, many, many people to it, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you touch them. And God, please protect your people that are caught up in war over in the Middle East there, Lord. And please protect your people here, Father, those that are your elect, Lord. Please keep your hand upon them, your protection around them. And save many, many of those soldiers, Lord, that are going over there, Father. We know that if they're in any place where they could fear the Lord, it would be there. We just ask, Lord, that you deal with them, you speak to them, that you do miracles to protect them, and that you do miracles to bring them to salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, go with all of our brethren, Lord, that are joining us today, Lord. Protect them and bless them and lead them and guide them in your wisdom. And we do thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, brethren. God bless you.